Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. Hello there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again. You braved the outdoors and brave the virus and came in to record a show today.
We're here together, but we're 6 feet apart.
Six feet apart at least. And Everything's been disinfected.
Good.
And you can smell the Lysol, I'm sure, on the microphone.
That's right.
Hey, we'll have some more encouragement about that toward the end of the show today.
That's right.
But most of the show today, you wanted to talk about the power of attorney. What is this? Kind of a review of a subject that you deal with quite a bit.
Yeah, we do. And you know, in light of where we are in society right now, there's a lot of questions going on, and specifically around, well, what happens if I needed to, if I needed medical care? What happens if I was unable to manage my finances for a period of time? And so as there is a very real threat to the world right now, then I wanted to take a couple minutes and at least a show, maybe even two, and really discuss and get into a little bit of the details concerning power of attorneys and where they fit in, where they don't. And of course, my encouragement is always everyone needs to do estate planning. And this type of a time that we are in even makes it more in front of us.
Mm.
And so, as always, my biggest voice, my biggest encouragement is going to be, don't wait. It's time. Right here, right now is the time. And so, we're available. We're still open. Whoever knew that attorneys were essential, but we've actually made the list of essential businesses. So,
yeah.
So of course, we're here for you. We want to answer your questions. And what a great opportunity to actually have this radio show in such a time as this, so that I can hopefully be a word of encouragement. I don't never want to be more of an opportunist of now is the time you've got to do this because of the world is falling apart at your fingertips. No, that's really not the voice here. I want to give wisdom, and I want to make sure people have good knowledge. Right. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because you've rejected knowledge. So my heart has always been, I want to give good information, good knowledge that's balanced, so that the body of Christ has a strong foundation to work from with this thing we call estate planning. So therefore, I want to talk about power of attorneys today, because it is something that people are asking the question. We are getting phone calls and emails in this time with concerns. Mm-hmm. And so there is something that we can do. There is something that we can bring a practical knowledge to and practical peace to a situation. And then hopefully also a good dose of God's word, so that as believers, we can actually face this with faith instead of face it in a spirit of fear or in the spirit of what the world is going, what's happening in the world. Yeah. So with those couple of things, I want to take a crack at power of attorneys.
Let's start off with then, what is POA as it's known by its acronym?
Yeah. Yeah. So a power of attorney is a document that allows someone else to have authority over certain areas of your life. And so what the power of attorney is doing is, number one, it's a legal document. It needs to be signed and notarized. And there are certain healthcare power of attorneys that need to be witnessed. So it's a legal document that gives someone else the power to act on your behalf. So if I'm unable to act on my behalf, we certainly need a power of attorney, but it doesn't have to be only a document at a time when I'm unable to assist myself or at a time when I'm incapacitated. It can be a document that is immediately available. And so therefore it empowers someone to do what I do. So in law, we have a statement. It's called in your shoes. So in other words, whatever I can do, another person can step in my shoes and act as me. So if I have legal authority to do something, so such as I have legal authority to access a bank account. And so a power of attorney could then give someone that I choose the power to go to my bank and have access to my bank account. Now, I can limit that scope and say you can only get information, or I can give really unfettered power, which means you can actually use my finances, you can write checks, you can make deposits, you can open accounts, you can close accounts. So the document itself gives us what boundaries, if any, or what availability that that person can then jump in my shoes and actually act with any authority that I act. And they can be a multitude of different powers. Anywhere.
So it's not just financial.
Yeah, absolutely. But most commonly we kind of think of a power of attorney as a financial instrument. Of course, there's other power of attorneys, but and they can be limited in scope or they can be limited in time. So for example, if I had a piece of property to sell and I was not going to be in the area, then I may want to give someone the authority to only act to close that transaction. And so my power of attorney could be extremely limited to being a real estate power of attorney instead of a full financial power of attorney. So the purpose of the power of attorney really depends on what purpose or what the principle, that is the person who makes the document, what is the principle trying to accomplish? But the most common one is that I want to make sure that if something happens to me, that someone else has access, an agent has access to my finances to be able to care for me as though I was going to do it myself. And so the scope can be very broad or it can be extremely limited. It can be given to one person or it could be given to multiple people.
Okay.
So in my practice, I tend to shy away from having multiple people act as a power of attorney. And so we try to get clients to think of one person that they would trust to perform the acts that the power of attorney are going to give.
So is that generally then the spouse if they're married, or maybe not? Or
almost all cases, not 100%, but a high majority start with a spouse first. But you know, if I'm having physical issues, specifically for older clients, we need to have really strong backups because day by day, my wife gets older with me. And so if I am potentially subject to needing assistance, maybe my wife is as well. It just depends. Mm-hmm. So we always want to have backups, strong backups to any power of attorney. And that's kind of where a lot of people go, well, have my kids do it. And we bring in a lot of kids. And so again, that's kind of it's a philosophical difference. Of course, you can have multiple power of attorney agents, but we tend to try to steer people away from multiple agents.
Why would
that be? There's
too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's really the big deal. Mm-hmm. Is that what I've seen in my practice is that there's two things that are possible when we get too many cooks in the kitchen. So that is an accurate phrase that people relate to. Number one, each child has a different personality and a different perspective. And those perspectives are typically very different in multiple facets, which is, I think it's better to care for mom and dad like this. I think that use of finances are better like this. So one child may be financially conservative, another may be financially, well, let's say more generous instead of frivolous. And so, and then we put siblings together in the same room, and all of a sudden, sibling, rivalries and things of the past may also come out. So there's relationship, potential setup of relationship concerns that we have, that it just is not as smooth of a system. However, there's also a practical side of that, which is administrative. Some financial institutions would require all agents to agree and all agents to sign a document. So therefore, if we need multiple signatures to accomplish a financial transaction, then we're sending documents around to each of the power of attorneys, to the agents, and all of a sudden we're slowing down the process. So for those reasons, we tend to encourage people. Now, it's not a legal requirement, because legally you can have multiple agents, and there could be the switch end, which is, I want both of my kids' voices heard. Okay, well, there's ways to do that without empowering both. And I want to treat the kids equally. So those are the most common things I hear, which is, I don't want one child to be left out. Well, chances are both children are not watching over you in the same capacity anyway.
Well, then when you do have multiple people involved, and does it require multiple people to sign off on a particular decision too?
Well, it could. Yeah. And so that's really the sticky point. Mm-hmm. And so the answer is not always. And so I really want to create a balanced approach to this conversation. I don't want to lean too heavily one way or the other. It could be necessary, but it depends on the financial institution or other financial institutions. Based upon your relationship and how things go, they may not require it. The whole thing is, I don't know. And so, so to mitigate and reduce that potential administrative burden, we tend to lean towards encouraging people to choose one person that we can lean upon. They're the final authority. So look, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that somebody cannot get the opinion of siblings. It doesn't mean that they can't get wisdom and direction from other people. It just means that at the end of the day, there's one person who is going to have the final authority, whose signature is actually going to be the go forward, the voice to say, this is the final decision. So that one individual can get a multitude of counsel around them. But the concern is that with multiple agents, it may be necessary to get a lot of signatures. So those are some of the things that we look at with power of attorneys, specifically the agents, of who we bring in and who we don't. Again, not a legal premise to only have one. As a matter of fact, the law allows multiple. But it could be a very good strategy to have one. But it's always up to the client. Mm-hmm. The client ultimately gets to choose, and we will produce a document according to that person's desire. So we give wisdom, we give insight, and then we are quiet, and the individual, the principal, gets to make the final call.
Well, if people are needing some guidance with power of attorney and assigning that and discussing some of these issues, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, we always have our website, so legacyandfaith.com. On there, actually, here in a couple of weeks, on April 15th, we are holding a seminar. It's a workshop, and we've had to cancel because of what's going on. We've had to cancel the in-person one, but this is still going to happen online.
That's right. So much is online now.
It is, and it's probably just something that we need to start getting more comfortable with. And I understand that there's a group in our population that is very uncomfortable with things like this, but I guarantee you that you have kids, and you probably have grandkids who are very fluent, who would be able to assist you. Really, it's quite simple. We send you an email, and there is a link there. You simply click the button and then select open the program, and voila, you're part of the meeting. It's okay. Really that quick, and it's really that easy. Now you need to have speakers and other things so that you can hear us through the computer, but there's even ways to accomplish that. So we encourage you, go to legacyandfaith.com. Sign up for our April 15th evening session, and it's online only now. So it's legacyandfaith.com.
People have a lot of time on their hands. They might like to take part in this. Again, legacyandfaith.com for more details. Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to invite you out to our newest workshop, A Biblical Foundation to Estate Planning. It's happening at our law office on April 15th. You can attend in person or you have an online streaming option. You can head over to our website to register for either in person or online. Our website is legacyandfaith.com to attend our April 15th A Biblical Foundation to Estate Planning. That's legacyandfaith.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at the subject of the power of attorney. What is the POA? Are there different kinds? So on and so forth. And
well,
Paul,
there are different kinds.
All kinds of things. This is a very important thing to have taken care of.
It is. And again, in light of where we are right now, we're getting a lot of questions, a lot of concerns, and rightfully so. And we just hope to be that voice of calm and peace. And we can still get your estate documents. We don't want you to feel insecure. We still have a way to assist you, even during these times that are kind of unique right now. Mm. And so, go ahead over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We have that April 15th online webinar only now. It'll be a workshop environment, and would love to have you sign up and get to know you through the computer. So that's our next step. So it's going to be good.
Okay. Well, continuing then, you've mentioned that there are different kinds of power of attorney. I don't know if you really explored too much the different kinds. It seems like most of it has to do with finances, but what other ones are there?
Yeah, well, obviously the next one that people are most familiar with is a healthcare, yeah, a power of attorney. And in healthcare, that really gives your agent the ability, or your healthcare representative the ability, to make decisions concerning your health. And so if you're unable to speak to a doctor, if a doctor believes that you're not comprehending the severity and nature of the decisions that they are asking or needing to make on your behalf, then a power of attorney for healthcare would step in, a representative would step in and be your voice during that time. So they would make decisions such as what doctors to use. They could make decisions such as what medications you need or don't need, what procedures to do or not to do, operations, treatments. There's a multitude of things. A do not resuscitate order is in most healthcare power of attorneys. So a lot of different authority is given in a healthcare power of attorney so that you can so that we can be ensured that whatever health decision needs to be made can be appropriated at that time with the doctor. So remember, there's attorneys that doctors have in the background, hospitals, and so they have limitations on what direction they can take from an individual or from a family member until they may look at you and go, that decision kind of makes us uncomfortable. We need to see a power of attorney to demonstrate that you are in charge. Mm. And by the way, that could actually be towards a spouse as well. It used to be in the olden days that if you had a ring, you could walk in and just make some chaos. But nowadays, that really doesn't fly. Doctors are going to have their limits. Of course, they're going to want to work with the spouse. Of course, they're going to want to move everyone in a certain direction. But if they are getting information that is not aligned with their duties to care for a patient, then they may reach a place to where they say, I really need a power of attorney.
Now, what happens
in
if you
order
don't
to
have,
take that?
What happens if you don't
well,
have
one? Well, that's difficult because it, really what it is it's an emergency court order, is that we're rushing off to court to try to get that around somebody so that the doctor would feel comfortable to take your direction instead of doing what they believe is in the patient's best interest medically. Now, I don't know those things because I'm not a medical doctor, so therefore, I don't know where those lines are. That would have to be a discussion with the medical professionals. But I know it exists, and the power of attorney for medical decisions is the answer, so that we never even have to test the line. That's the whole point of this power of attorney, is that we don't want to be up against that roadblock and getting close to where the doctor is feeling uncomfortable, and yet the family wants to move in a certain direction but just cannot. So it's far better if we just have the power of attorney. It's ready to go. It's in the system with our medical records, and the doctors can just go, okay, you're the voice. I can just take clear direction, and we eliminate all of the lines, and we never get the doctors feeling uncomfortable. We want them to be in a clear space to make best information. So a medical power of attorney is very critical. Mm-hmm. And here's a couple others just very quickly, is that there's actually a mental health power of attorney. Mm. And I see very few of them in the marketplace, which is very surprising to me. There's an entire different statute for mental health issues. So mental health is, what if we are not thinking clearly? What if our emotions are not under control? So it could also be Alzheimer's. It could also be memory issues. We can't fix that. Mm. And so therefore, those are mental health power of attorneys. And I mentioned a couple others, which are like real estate deals and very specific ones that act for a certain purpose, but turn on and turn off very quickly. Mm. So usually the financial, the medical, and the mental are ones that we place inside an estate planning plan, and they are on and they're there for a long period of time and need to be consistently updated.
And these are documents that the doctor, for instance, needs to be able to look at.
Yes, that's right.
Be able to produce it.
Yeah, that's right. We've got solutions for that as well. But, you know, the starting place, again, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We have an online seminar coming up on April 15th in the evening. We'd love for you to click on that. We'd love to get more information. We talk about power of attorney. We talk about wills, trusts. We talk about estate planning as a whole. And so we encourage you, head over to legacyandfaith.com and click on the seminar button and sign up for our upcoming April 15th workshop. It'll be a great workshop.
Webinar. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
And you wanted to kind of close out the show today with some encouragement in these kind of fearful times.
Yeah. And so I want to move away from really even talking about estate planning. And over the next weeks that I have the show, I really want to encourage the body of Christ. You know, it's times like this that really do test some of our faiths. And you know what? God is not intimidated by that. God is not up there disappointed that you may be looking at this world situation going, God, where are you? God, what is happening? How do I get better prepared spiritually? The entire premise of our Christian walk is that God so loved the world that he gave. And so our God is a God of immeasurable, passionate love for us. He is a good God. But yet we also know that Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. In Hebrews 11:3, that the worlds were framed by faith. And so we understand that in a time like this, we need to be looking at Him and Him alone so that we can be encouraged in our faith. And really, here is the linchpin that I find at a time when there is so much going on and so much information coming at us. And right now, more than ever, if we thought that the news was bad news most of the time, it's even worse now. The only thing we hear about, if you turn on the news, and it doesn't matter which one, is about this coronavirus. And really what is happening is that I believe that the enemy and the voice of this world is trying to pull our attention more and more away from the things that are truth. And truth is found in God's word. That is the absolute truth. And the decision we need to make, maybe on a daily basis more than ever, is what voice are we going to believe? Are we going to believe that God is good, that such as in Romans 10, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? I already talked about John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave. And then in 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God are yes and amen. God hasn't changed during this time. His passion and His love is true and absolute. So my voice of encouragement is, consistently go back to Him. Look at His word, because that, the washing of the word, will wipe away the fears and the concern that the world is trying to scream at us. And we will find yet again, and our solid foundation, that there is hope, that there is love, and that there is peace. And it is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. So my encouragement to you, turn your face towards Jesus Christ again, and He is good.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney. Again, he has a special webinar coming up April 15th. You can find out more details about that at legacyandfaith.com. Thank you so much, Paul. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.